Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
I think it's the shift when you stop thinking about your photography as photography and you start thinking about it as art. I think that's where you become more confident, I think, in what you're doing.
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey guys, now is your chance to check out all of the incredible photography education we have available for you at theportraitsystem.com. For only $7, you will get access to over 1,000 videos, including pricing, posing, marketing, lighting, sales, inspiring photo shoots, self-value, and more. Yes, you'll get your first month for only $7 when you become a pro member, and you'll get access to the full download library with posing guides and workbooks and so much more. Also, this includes a pricing calculator, a studio startup timeline, our weekly live broadcasts, including Sue Bryce's live talks, access to our private, members-only Facebook groups, special discounts on photography products, and so much more. Head over to theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7 to get your first month for only $7. That's theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7. My guest this week on the Portrait System Podcast is Carolina Skodic. Carolina is an incredible photographer who's highly awarded and has even gotten first place in several categories for the Portrait Masters Awards and Accreditation. The mind-blowing thing is that most of her portraits are taken in her very small living room or bedroom. Another amazing thing is that Carolina lives in Wales, but makes most of her living from a gallery in Poland who sells her work for her. Carolina tells us all about how she makes this happen and about the process of how she creates her portraits. Okay, let's get started with the very talented Carolina Skodic. Hi, Carolina. Welcome to the Portrait System. How are you?
I am amazing. I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm well. I'm so glad to have you on. This is going to be awesome. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
All right. So you are from Poland, but you don't live in Poland anymore.
No, I do travel a lot. I've got plans to move partially back to Warsaw. I'm not from Warsaw, but I want to move there for a little bit and see how it is.
Okay.
But I'm in Wales. At the moment.
Okay. And how long have you been in Wales?
Oh, gosh. Almost 18 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time. how long ago did you start your business?
I started in 2010.
Okay.
But it was more kind of like a event and wedding photography other than anything else, so I can keep afloat.
Okay. And now you are fine art.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. 100%.
Yeah, definitely. I want to hear about your whole journey and everything, but what was that like moving to a new country where, you know, English isn't your first language, obviously, and starting a business? Because you weren't there too long before you started the business.
Not really. Well, to be honest, my parents moved here, so at least I had that.
Okay.
The family support was always the most important thing. Mm-hmm. It was scary. I think I suffered what most immigrants suffer from, which is like lack of self-worth or self-value. And I didn't think, I speak English, I can't do this, everyone's looking at me weirdly and things like that. But I think it took me like 2 years to realize nobody really cares as long as they understand me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like, 2 years after I've moved, I thought, well, I'll just try with the business, like with the weddings and stuff, because that's where people are trying to be nice to you and they want nice pictures.
Mm-hmm. It is really interesting. It's not something that I've ever experienced. Like, I've always lived in a country where English is the language that's spoken and that's what I speak. And like someone who was speaking, who, you know, has an accent where English is not their first language, I've never, ever looked at someone as like, oh, God, listen to them try to speak English. I've always looked at people with just so impressed with the fact that you're bilingual, you know, and that you're mm-hmm. just trying. Whenever I travel to a Spanish-speaking country, I took Spanish in high school for 3 years. I know a little bit of Spanish, but I'm almost too embarrassed to even try. You know, so I just think it's so incredible. And I don't know, I just like want you to feel proud.
Yeah, no, now I do. I kind of don't care. And if I make a mistake, I always make a joke of it. And it's like, oh, you know, it's this. But at the beginning, I guess it's, it's in your head because nobody really cares.
Yeah.
And if they care, they're assholes, basically. Yeah.
Definitely.
I had many weird jobs at the beginning, and I remember one when a person in like a hotel asked me if I can read, like at all. Can you read? And I'm like, which language do you want me to read?
Right? You're like, yes, yeah. I can read 3 languages. How many can you read?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, like that's how they perceived people from abroad, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I came in with a university degree and like with nice family, and I just wanted to earn some cash for holidays. Mm-hmm. Most people were like, oh, so she doesn't really speak, so I guess she's stupid or something. But again, yeah. I guess a lot of that is in my head rather than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last thing on this, and it doesn't compare at all to anything mm-hmm. you've experienced, but I'm speaking in New Zealand in like 8 days at NZIPP. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be probably the only American there. I'm going to be standing on stage in my like Midwestern, like nasally accent amongst all these like beautifully speaking Kiwis with their amazing accent. And I'm going to be on the stage, like me and my mom had a salad and with my aunt, you know. I'm like nervous. Oh, it's so stupid.
Yeah, no, I can relate. I had a speaking event a few weeks ago, and I was like, why did they even invite me? There's like just business women there talking about women in business. And then I was like, oh, that's why.
That's why they invite me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear about that. What is this? Tell me about the speaking event.
Well, it was an event in the gallery that I exhibit with. And they wanted to talk about like the importance of women in business, mm-hmm. like supporting how we can actively help other women to be mm-hmm. more engaged and like just more proactive, I guess. And the second day was about how art bridges the gaps between like immigrants and things like that. So that was more of my area of expertise, because I always laughed that I'm not a businesswoman. I'm just an artist. but I guess you need the both hats.
Mm-hmm. You do. Yeah. Well, okay, so I know, speaking of degrees, I know you had said you were, you know, getting a degree before. You have a degree in fine art?
Yeah, I'm kind of a master's degree hoarder. That's what people call me. You know, you've got the show in States called My Strange Addiction or something like this. So I guess yeah. University is one of mine because I've got 3 master's degrees, and accidentally I'm doing the 4th one now.
Accidentally, Carolina.
Yes, I've applied thinking it's going to be a PhD, and it was like arts in mental health.
Oh.
But they were like, oh, it's actually a master's degree, but it was so interesting that I was like, oh, okay, well, you're paying me for to do the research, so I'll just do it.
Wow. I feel like you're a serial learner, which is an amazing thing to be. Yeah. That's all.
It's the ADHD brain. If I just get focused on something, and after that, I'll just be like, oh, it's boring anymore. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. A lot of times when I interview people and they have some sort of art or photography degree, they say they came out of it not knowing how to run a business. And oftentimes they'll maybe do something else for a while, or, you know, they had to find like education like Sue offers, you know, the portrait system and all of that in order to really learn how to run a business. What was it like for you coming out of that?
Same, I would say. Basically, I've graduated with master's from Academy of Fine Arts in Poland, and they gatekeep everything, basically. So they don't tell you how to run a business or how to be a successful artist, anything like that. Nope.
So strange.
I know. But I think, like, I've talked with a friend about it, and she's like, I think it's like a jealousy because they are older than the students, and they don't, in a weird way, they want you to succeed, but at the same time, they don't want you to be better than them. So when I found Sue on Creative Life, it was so refreshing. Like, oh my God, it was just mind-blowing that somebody can be so open about this, their story, and about how do you do it, and because it is a step-by-step thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you just listen, yeah, it works.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I guess when you have an educator like Sue, who, it's just all about wanting her students to be the best and do the best and be the most successful and have the most successful life. And to think that maybe some of these programs that you're spending a lot of money in, you know, that they're not that. Yeah. Oh, it just makes me so sad. But
yeah, it changes a little bit now. So not to end like on the very sad note, it does change. Like my generation that starts to teach there, it is different now because we know how it is out there, and that if somebody is not going to tell you what to do or how to do it, you'll probably spend years banging your head against the walls.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So coming out of school, were you already a photographer? Was that part of your degree?
Kind of. Yes and no.
Yeah, okay.
Because I graduated as a glass designer.
Glass designer.
Yes. Yeah. That the first thing was a glass design. And then in Poland, you can do basically like two projects. So like an appendix to your master's in totally different thing. And I really wanted to do one from painting. I had my painting tutor and everything. So I wanted to do like traditional hyper realistic painting. But then it takes time, and I do procrastinate a lot. So you can't really do like 10 hyper-realistic paintings in 3 months and do other master's degree as well. So me and my tutor thought like, hey, you are already like taking photographs as references for your paintings. Why not change the subject and do painterly effects in photography?
Oh.
Yeah.
Smart.
And I was like, huh, okay. And it just clicked. At this time, that was it. I've graduated with glass degree. Like I'm a glass designer, but I haven't touched glass since 2009 when I graduated.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I drink from glass, but
right.
Yeah. So I think this person kind of like changed my life and the directory it's going, like the direction.
Yeah. Now, okay, so. How long then after you graduated did you actually start your business?
I would say it was because I graduated and instantly like moved to UK. I thought I'm coming over for holidays and coming back, but that didn't happen. So I would say a year, but I always knew I wanted to do like art or arty things. I had a part-time job as a graphic designer. And I thought, I'll try this. I'll try the like doing it on my own. And I've started doing weddings. And I've done weddings for 6 years. And I swear to God, I will never do it again, even for the best friend.
You and me both.
Yeah, it's like, no. I had a really nice, like, intimate weddings where it wasn't just bride and groom. And I was going like all over Europe with them because it was like the destination weddings. As much as I loved traveling, still too much drama for me. No.
Mm-hmm.
Never again.
Yeah, I agree. Well, okay, real quick. Mm-hmm. So I want people to know that, I mean, you've won several categories, like
yes.
Best image in the Portrait Masters Awards and accreditation. I know for sure creative, movement.
What I think there? It was children as well, or seniors, one of those, yeah.
Like your work, when you say fine art, like you aren't kidding. I mean, your work is just mind-blowing.
Thank you.
And you, I want people to hear, where are you shooting most of these?
Well, 99% of what I'm shooting is from my living room. Mm-hmm. I shift all the furnitures and I'll just shoot from, and it's not like US living rooms. It's not huge space. I would say it has roughly 3 meters by 4 and about 2.30 meters height. I don't do non-metric system.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. We can work that out.
Yeah. So it's a small space, but it's enough. I mean, for years I was kind of worried that people will judge me by the space I'm shooting from. But no, they kind of judge me by the art I'm doing, and they are invited into my home, so they feel even more special. They get to hang out with the dog and sometimes with the family. Like my mom is a chef and she'll pop in and cook something. So that's always a bonus.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, I want people to, you know, I know you're in the process of redoing your website.
Yes.
But if people go to your Instagram, which is Carolina Skodek Official.
Yes. So there's a lot of that. And I do have a YouTube channel. I don't do much on it. I tried. But then I went to university again and I didn't have time. But it will come back one day. Yeah. But there is a lot of backstages from there. So we always try to trick the eye of this space being a little bit more than what it is. But yeah, they can kind of see what's happening there.
I want people to see what's possible. I mean, you're doing it in your small living room. I mean, there's no excuses that you, I mean, you literally can create what you can create in this small space. Yeah. I mean, you don't need this big, beautiful.
I mean, I would love a big, beautiful studio, but at the same time, it is very limiting because I love my freedom. I love the fact that I can just pack my bag and go to Poland or Spain or anywhere and shoot there. Like I've got so many, like I'm just looking at my Instagram and I've got so many shoots that are even there that were shot from like a hotel room where we just pushed the furniture out of one way to have one white or gray wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I kind of love when, I mean, not that I don't wish, you know, everyone to have their dream shooting space or whatever, but I kind of like it when our award-winning photographers are like, yeah, I do this in my bedroom.
Yeah, well, some of them, to be honest, some of those photos are from either my bedroom or like the spare room in the house that is super so tiny. Cool. It's like a walk-in closet, but has the most beautiful lights. And there, I don't need even lights or anything. It's just
the wow. Is there a window in there or it's just...
Yeah, there's like one window that I think is facing south or something like this. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah. I just love it. I love it when people really make it work regardless of the space.
So, yeah. And I think it's kind of like the mindset. You can do it anywhere, like literally anywhere. I was visiting my grandma last week and one of my friends who I love to photograph for like the most weird, obnoxious projects. Basically, I always cover her in glitter from like toes to head. And we shot it from my grandma's living room where you have like a radiator across the wall. The wall is ugly beige. Mm-hmm. With the other facing wall is like green screen green. So you've got the beautiful green cast. And some of those photos, I'm like, I think I'm going to submit them this round because I'm just like, I love it. It's more about the connection with the model and with what you do with your head, like in your head with the camera, than about the studio.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's like it helps when you have stunning backgrounds and all the lights you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, sometimes it's limiting. I did have a few models that were so overwhelmed by my studio lights that I've ended up just shooting on like the LED film lights because they were flinching every time the flash went off. So let's do it this way.
Yeah, that makes sense. It just goes to show, again, you don't need all of the fancy gears and the huge studio and
Yeah, it's you that makes the art, not the camera or not the... Of course, it helps, but you know what I mean.
Now, with fine art and what you do now, are you just creating to create, to submit to awards and that sort of thing? Or are you making a living doing this?
I can finally say I am making a proper living out of it. I found some galleries that are so interested in it, and it sells... My last show sold out all the prints before they had the opening night, which is amazing.
Okay, so you are photographing people.
Yes.
And then submitting it to galleries, and they're showing it and selling it for you?
Yes. Well, I mean, I have clients that will come over and commission me to create their portraits in my style. So basically, they'll be like, oh, you know, paint me like one of your French girls. kind of situation. They'll be like, yeah, anything. I just want an art from you, by you, and I will sell it as a limited edition print just for them. So they basically have like one or two large scale portraits from me. They can buy anything else, but to be honest, it's usually it's an overkill, like when they have the huge art. But I do have the projects that I submit to the galleries, and that's they sell. It's usually where I pick the models. It's basically exactly like what you do if you're working for an award. You just source everything, and it has to be like well thought through and planned. And a lot of the plans sometimes don't work, but that's also part of the process.
Yeah, totally. Isn't that the truth? All right, So your client, like the way that you're making money is through the gallery sales then?
Yes. 90% now is from the gallery sales. It used to be like 60% were private clients' commissions, and sometimes it's like me showing other people how to do it. They would come to my house and I would just explain what I do and how I do it. And now it's like 80-90% is the gallery sales, and we don't do like open prints, so it's just like four prints per art, if that makes sense. So it's like few prints per one design or per one art, and that's it.
Okay, so there's a limited number. It's not like you can, all right, how does this relationship work with the galleries, as far as one, how did you get in with them? And two, how are you splitting the profits?
Well, now I'm in the process of negotiating with the new gallery in Poland. So the last one that I had was 50-50. It is a hefty split, but it's still worth it, in my opinion. Most galleries will do like either 40% for them and then 64% for the artist, or 50-50. I had one that did 50-50, but at the same time, they knew how big of an investment it is to print and frame them. Let's say, I think it was like 11 or 12 artworks. So they paid for everything. And from every artwork sold, it is 50-50, but they also take like the production cost, which was good for the start. And how do I find them? The first one, it's emails, a lot of them, and 99% of the emails will, like, you'll not even hear back from anyone. Sometimes it's like, oh, they'll see you on Instagram and they will actually source you. I have one gallery like that. The one in Poland, I was lucky enough that a girl who I was studying with at the university in Poland got a curator, she became a curator there. So she invited me into one of their auction. I think it started with the auction for the Ukrainian when the war started.
Okay, yeah.
So I donated a few of my works there, and that's how it started. Like, they liked the works and they thought like, oh, let's do a solo show. And yeah.
this, okay, this sounds to me very much like networking. You knew someone who ended up, so if you're out there and you're like, okay, I want to get into a gallery, you're going to have to start networking people who are part of a gallery in some way or who have some sort of influence or...
Yeah, so basically, like, if I am in Wales, and I always thought it's like the end of the world and nothing happens here, and it is partially true. So I will go to openings in London or like any big cities and just basically network there. But it's like it's the weird party networking where you do make the introduction of like, oh yeah, I'm an artist, but then you never talk about business. Or anything like that. So it's one of those.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, do you, like, as far as setting the pricing, does the gallery set the pricing or do you set the pricing?
Well, I had an idea of the pricing in my head, like just by doing research of what other people are selling the art for. I know it's not the best way of doing it, but that's how I think most of us start. But then I had them, how do you call it, priced? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the gallery had like a pricing expert and they did a research on me on like where my art was already, how it was shown. The fact that I was exhibited with Rembrandt helped a lot to up the prices this year. Yeah, so they basically kind of like priced up as if you would price the property, I guess, or any other artwork. They just price it up and run it by you if you're happy with that.
Okay, all right. If you're not comfortable sharing this, you don't have to, but is there an average sale that you get per print that you know of?
I'll have to think. It's not that I'm not comfortable with. I'm the worst person to talk about money because I don't remember. So it's the average would be about £2,000-£3,000.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, because it's a weird numbers game because some of the arts are like priced in Polish zlotys, and they would be like 10,000 Polish zlotys or something like this. And I'm like, what? How much is this? Yeah. Right. So the average would be anything from like 2,000 to 3,000, I would say.
So you're selling these in a gallery in Poland, not in Wales?
No. Wales, as far as I know, and as far as where I'm based, don't really have galleries like that. I mean, there is galleries, but that's quite an interesting thing because you have to find galleries that will exhibit your work.
Right.
And some of the galleries, like if they have just paintings or like proper, not proper, but just like fine art, sculptures and prints and things like, they will not touch photography. We are still kind of like the poor cousin that it's...
Yeah, the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, exactly. Like we are creeping ourselves in, and I'm looking at some of the sales that were made from like the big names, and I'm starting to feel very happy that the market is actually growing now.
Yeah. For the record, I love red hair and I am a stepchild and I have the best stepmother in the world. So I hate that expression, but you know, people know it's, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that the full expression is kind of like the bastard child or something.
I know some of these expressions that we use.
Yeah, no, I'm obsessed with redheads. You can probably see from my photos.
From like, your work,
I'm obsessed. Yeah. It's probably the fact that I'm like blackhead and then love to have redhead ones, but I'm too afraid of dyeing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really interesting because it's like, wow, I never even, not that I do fine art like what you do, but it never occurred to me that you could reach out to galleries all around the world. I mean, you're doing this from Wales. I mean, granted, you speak Polish, which is helpful, but I mean, it's kind of cool. Like you could find a gallery anywhere.
Yeah.
And do this.
I had few works shown and sold like in New York without stepping foot there. There is amazing gallery close to Miami. I don't remember. It's like the top of the peninsula. I don't remember the name. And we did start to talk. I was supposed to come there again and like make the thing happen, but then COVID happened, so I couldn't. But yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Very, very, very cool.
I think it's the shift when you stop thinking about your photography as photography and you start thinking about it as art.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where you become more confident, I think, in what you're doing. Because then you're talking about art. Not, I know how it sounds like not just photography, but most people will be like, oh, it's just photography. It's just Photoshop. I'm like, well, here it is. You've got my computer. Just do what I do and we'll talk.
Well, okay. So it's really interesting to me because I don't know that I personally would purchase someone else's face to hang really, you know, big on my wall or whatever, if it wasn't someone like in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Although like some of this, like the movement. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, in my bathroom at home, I have a portrait on the wall that I purchased at a store. And you don't necessarily see their face. She's like kind of holding onto her face and she has flowers and there's like gold on it. And so I did purchase a photo of someone that I don't know. So, but like the movement, the one that you won the category, it's just so beautiful. And it's, I believe it's a woman. Yeah. It looks like a woman.
It is. And, a woman, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. And, but her face is like moving and there's this purple light moving all around, purple and white, like light moving all around her. Like, mm-hmm. I could see that as something. Okay. I guess where I'm going with this is who is buying your portraits and what is kind of the best selling? Is it just of people?
Who is buying? I don't know.
I mean, your art you is know what I mean? The like, walls of people and you don't know?
Most of them, I have no idea who bought it. I've met four of my clients that bought the actual art and they were just astonished by the art. And like it's quite both humbling and very proud moment if you meet someone who's like, oh my God, I dreamt of having your piece in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow you on Instagram and I just didn't know how to buy it. I'm like, okay. And then they send me photos of my art in their house and like, that's, oh my, so God, cool. Yeah, so I would say a lot of them are women or identifying as women and they would be 40 plus.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my style of work, it's kind of inviting women to invest in art because it's kind of like what we advertise with the gallery is the actual investment that you can buy it and it will, as I'm growing as an artist, the art will gain more value over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like with a family portrait, but in slightly different scenario, I would say.
Yeah. And then, like, what prints are your most popular? Is it just of a person that you have styled and just done some really creative things to the portrait and the person, or what's selling the most?
The most sold one is the one with the fox.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The redhead with the fox is still one of my best sellers. And there is the same model that has like a pheasant on her head and pearls dripping all over her face. So that's sold a lot. I think it was like, I think it's sold out in the gallery when it comes to the print run. Yeah, I haven't done, because we are doing, with the galleries right now, we are doing more of the old masters Rembrandt, the Cabinet of Curiosities style of exposition. So it's more this kind of old feel art rather than the movement one. But I'm dying to do some more of the, like, I wouldn't call it modern, but more of the experimental ones because the mm-hmm. movement was done, like 90% of it was in camera. So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. That, especially that one, that 90% was done in camera. Wow.
Yeah. And that was done in the, not even in the studio. It's done in the spare room.
Yeah.
It was the break, you know, it's not the second day of Christmas, it's the next day after that. And my mm-hmm. friend came over and we were like, hey, I've got the painting brush. Do you want to have some fun?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you is, as far as, well, two things. One, you had mentioned that like 60% of your sales before were coming from commissioned work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you still do where people come in and...
I do, yeah. But it's because my website was hacked in January this year.
Oh, I was wondering why you didn't have a website, yeah.
And I still haven't got to... Yeah, I've lost basically all everything, and it was on the server. The server got basically hacked, so it was my website, my mom's restaurant website, lot of damage. God. Yeah, and as I was doing it, because I'm kind of like, I know what I'm doing. I want to do it myself, kind of person.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'll do it again. But then I got so busy, it's stuck on the coming up soon. So the coming up soon is the curse, because most people who would like the commission, they will still contact me on Instagram, but it's less than what it was where the website was up and running.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things is that website. So people, if you're listening out there, if your website doesn't look good or professional or coming soon,
exist. Yeah,
it's a big deal. It's definitely a big deal. When you do have people, like, how are they finding you? Like, people who, you know, I'm just speaking, like, for people who are fine art photographers, but they just don't have people knocking at their door, you know, what do you normally do to get people to come in?
Interestingly enough, the last half a year, most people that knocked to my door were through TikTok.
Oh, interesting.
No. Yeah, I was like, because I don't post regularly there. I hate kind of the video content because I have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm shooting this kind of thing, I might sometimes have the makeup artist, the assistant. But usually it's just me and the model, even mm-hmm. if it's like the higher up names, because I've shot a few actors and things like that. It's just me and them. It creates this, let's call it magic, where it's a bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have that, like, oh, it's so relaxed. It's not like the huge sets where you have thousands of people and everyone's rushing and everyone's yelling.
Right.
I've been on those sets, and as a neurodivergent person, I mm-hmm. hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
I would hate it too. It would be so
overwhelming. Yeah, like, no.
Oh my God, no. Yeah.
I basically created something that I would feel comfortable with taking part, and I have to be comfortable to create the art. So yeah, it's the both ways.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's TikTok, Instagram, and some of them come from the galleries. The most interesting one was when I had like an older professor coming up to me saying that she'd love to get photographed by me and become the art.
Oh, cool. This is one of your previous...
December.
Okay, but someone that taught you, like you were their student.
No. She just found my work.
Oh, got it.
And I smiled a lot because she said like, oh, I was preparing a lecture for my students and your work popped up, but she teaches biology or something like this. So
I said, okay.
But it was at the same time where like a Polish TV station runs a documentary, like a short mm-hmm. Short thing about me in the breakfast TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh yeah, you were just watching the Good Morning Poland or something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, I'll run with the story of yes, you were just researching.
Yeah.
But I think like the PR and showing up in like local news or TV stations, it's super important, especially if you want to get to be more known.
Is that so? You have done, obviously you've done that. Do you contact the station and say I'm doing this? And
well, with this station, it's quite interesting because I have no idea if I've contacted them or they found me. Because it was just after I had the exhibition with Rembrandt.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a lot of things happening, but I do send a lot of emails and sometimes I send it as my agent.
I love this strategy, Carolyn.
Yeah, it's kind of so like smart. I've talked with so many people and they're like, yeah, if you send it, it feels desperate. So send it as your agent. I'm like, huh, okay.
And see, that's funny.
It does work. Funny.
I would rather, when someone reaches out to us to be on the portrait system, I would rather it come from them.
I know.
I would personally, like, I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from your agent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So funny. I don't know. But I guess I'm not looking for like the high end, blah, blah, blah. Like I just like real people with real stories, and our team likes, you know, that's what we are drawn to. So I guess maybe if I was looking for like this, you know, high end, high, you know, top of the line artwork or whatever, then I would think coming from, that makes sense. Coming from an agent. Yeah.
But I always find it hilarious that sometimes I'll send an email and they will come back to me. But most of the times, if I send it from the second email, it has more reply rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is playing on the high end thing.
But you are not just sitting back waiting to be discovered. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
You're it's putting yourself job. Out there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full time job to. Send emails, reach out to people, the social media game with like followers and just even commenting on other galleries' pages sometimes works and things like that. And then competitions, because that's also very important in this kind of area, where the more badges or art, like the more gold or whatever it gets, basically the more things your art wins, the higher the price will be.
Okay, so the more awarded.
Yes, thank you.
the more
awarded the artwork is, or the more places it's been exhibited, it will have higher market value.
So awarded as in like if you were to enter to like WPPI and win silver or the Portrait Masters Awards and Accreditation. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They do like that. And sometimes I laugh because I don't really care that much about the awards. Mm-hmm. I enter because like I'm proud of my art and it's great to see how other people feel about it.
Right.
It's still very personal. Like one person might like it and the other will be like, it's nothing. But people who will look at your art for collecting, they will look for something that is probably like either won awards or was shown on a few shows and things like that.
Well, and again, people listening, like if you have some work that you have never entered, go for it. I mean, even if it's a bronze, like bronze is great. I didn't mean to be like, even if it's just a bronze, but it's not like, gosh, if this is something you're considering, wow, that's an extra really great way to get some credibility. If you're looking at trying to sell.
The amount of bronzes I get for things I think they are like, oh, this is extraordinary. It will win everything. And then you get like high bronze. Well, you know, it's like it makes you think what to do better and why it did it. And then when you have the feedback, it's even better because then you can see things that you haven't seen before.
Right.
And I remember Richard doing like the video of a few of the things that people submitted, like the critiques.
Yep.
And I've sent two. And they were talked about. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't noticed that little white crease on the backdrop. And now I can't see anything else on that photo.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's so, even someone at your skill and your level to get that feedback is still so important. And I cannot express this enough, whether you're just starting or you're a veteran at this. Even just submitting to get that feedback is so worth it. You know, spend the $20, the $25, and just really, it's priceless. It really is.
Yeah. And there is few, well, I don't think WPPI is doing the awards anymore. I mean, they,
right,
they
no, not the right now.
Yeah,
they're on hold. But they
used to, yeah, but they used to have the feedback as well.
Live judging.
Yeah, but even with the half yearly ones.
Oh right, right, right. Yeah,
you were getting some of the feedback, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, for the Portrait Masters, we didn't do it one round, and everyone was like, "Where is the feedback?" And so, because it's a lot of time and brain power and energy and effort, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, people really wanted it. And when we took it away, like, we were like, oh god.
Yeah, they definitely wanted, and yeah. I think it's what all those years have taught me is and the time at the art university, because they are ruthless there. You have to be humble, hide your ego in the pocket, mm-hmm. and just you know, like, stand there with an open heart, because nobody wants to harm you. They want you to grow. Mm-hmm. And the feedback you're getting, it might stink a little bit. Mm-hmm. You might not agree with it at first, but there is always something in it. And
yeah,
definitely. So it's just, you know, like, getting out of your own way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I do Two Photo Tuesday, I call it, in my Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And if I've said this a million times on the podcast, I'm sorry. People listening, it'd be a broken record, but sometimes we have new listeners who are listening for the first time. So most Tuesdays, sometimes I take a Tuesday off because I'm with my family that day, or I'm on vacation, or like, I'll be in New Zealand next week. So
amazing. You
know, I don't always do it on Tuesdays, but I love it. And so people can post two photos every Tuesday, and I go through and critique each one, and then other group members can hop on if they want and give feedback or whatever.
That's amazing.
And yeah, and often the same people will do every week, and I love it because they're like so willing to just grow.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously I'm one person who has one opinion, which is why, and I'm one of the judges for the Portrait Masters, and we do have five different judges from different parts of the world with different backgrounds and expertise who critique each photo. So you're getting the average score of five different opinions when you know, submit, which is amazing. But in my group, it's just me, and they know that I'm the one giving the feedback, and people might agree with it or not, but it really is a great way. And also for group members, other people, you can go through that thread. I have one thread every Tuesday, and it's all in the comments, and they can go through and read the different critiques, because it's helpful to learn from looking at other people's work and other people's critiques. So
yeah, that's it. I think it's the most valuable thing you can get.
Yeah. 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 And we actually are in this timing of this interview was really great, because we have awards open right now. It's open for, let's see, this comes out on August 7th. Mm-hmm. So there's three more days. It closes August 10th this round, and then it won't be back again until January. But we are announcing the winners at live at the Portrait Masters Conference in September. So that's always really fun too. Like, if you're going to the conference and you get in the top 20 in one of the categories, you get to hear yourself, you know, see your image. Well,
you can try a little.
It's yes, and it's just so much fun, and it's so rewarding. And not, even if you're not trying to get in the top 20, it's not even, you know, it's not even about that. It's just, I mean, it is, you know, it's fun.
So many people, it is about the top 20, isn't it? But even just getting a silver that is not in the top 20, it's amazing. It's just,
oh my gosh. Well, even for people, I mean, I feel like for you, you've gotten so many higher awards, but for people who are like, I always say, if you're not sure if you have professional standard work, because we always say you have to have amazing customer service, you have to have professional standard work, and you have to make connections with people. You know, your marketing has to be on point, and or at least, you know, some sort of marketing. Mm-hmm. But if you aren't sure if your work is professional standard, entering something like the awards and accreditation can tell you whether or not it's professional standard. So, you know, 70 to 74 is a bronze professional standard. Once you hit 75, that's when it's bronze with distinction, and it goes up from there. You know, 80 is a silver. So, but getting that, even if you're just getting in that 70 to 74 range, you're still, like, the judges are telling you, five different judges from around the world with, you know, amazing backgrounds or whatever are telling you, yes, this is professional standard. And if you're getting 67, 68, 69s, you've got some work to do.
Yeah. And I've been with the awards since the beginning, since the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And the level and the quality of work has changed so much. It's like, it used to be a fun competition to enter. Now it's game on. It's kind of like, who's going to win this time?
Yeah. But that is for people who have the mindset of, I want in top 20. I want to win category. Yeah. Like when you are just entering your work, whether it's your client work, like I have entered back, you know, a while ago, I used to enter because I obviously don't judge my own photos. And when the judges see my, they don't know that, we don't know whose work we're judging. Yeah. We have no idea whose work we're judging. So when the judges were critiquing my work, they weren't like going it easy on me because I'm, you know, one of the judges or whatever. And I did get a couple 69s back then and I was like, oh my God. But it helped me to learn and grow. And I have 5 silvers, which to me I'm very proud of because, you know, whatever. But the point is that even if you're not going for that top 20 or whatever, if you just want to get some good feedback and you want to see if your professional standard work, that doesn't need to be like the whole game on thing. Like, yes, there is that portion of it when you're like, I want top 20. But if you're just kind of like, I just want to, you know, anyways, it's just great all around.
Yeah, I think it's also like you are in competition with the best. Like some people that I see are like mind blowing and I understand some of the frustration of people when they are like, oh, I got a bronze or I got this. I get it because sometimes I get the same feeling when I'm like so confident about my work and it gets silver. And I was like, oh, why it's not gold? it is the same feeling. I think we all have totally. It. It's exactly the same. After that, you know, you get the emotions like calmed and you step back and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can work on this and this and this. But yeah, it's, I guess our work and art, and even if it's a client work, it's still part of us. So we will get like emotional about it and protective about it. And it might be scary to enter, but yeah, it's so worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this has been really great. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
I love it. I've never interviewed someone who solely makes their money off of the gallery selling their images for them.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing. Don't get me wrong. It's not all unicorns and rainbows.
Right.
Yeah, but when you get it, it's hard work. And it's basically, I think, it's exactly us difficult to market as it is with the portraits, or even more, because as you said, like, who's going to get a photo that is a print of someone who is not your family or friend or you? In UK, when I used to do portraits I still got like the objections of, oh, but it's my face, I'm not going to hang it on the wall, I'm not like this egocentric person. And I looked at them like, hey, I've got my face on my wall because I love that portrait that somebody did of me. And I looked amazing on it, and I like to look at it and remember how I felt that day. And it's super important what all of us are doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I still have a couple questions that I always ask at the end of each episode. And the first one is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
My camera.
What do you shoot with?
I shoot with Canon 5D Mark IV, I think.
Okay, I had that camera.
It's the last of the Canon 5Ds, so I think it's the fourth. Yeah, Canon.
Cool. What's your favorite lens?
Well, it depends. If I travel, it's the little zoom 24-100L lens from Canon. If I'm in the studio and have a bit more freedom, because I'm not limited by space or luggage space, I've got the Canon 100, which has beautiful, like, 1 point something, I don't remember. I'm not great with technicalities. And then it's, but I think that my go-to is the 24 or 25-200 or 105.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's a kit lens, right?
I bought it with the kit, but it's the L1.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The L.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Something. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
I spend it with my family. And also I kind of, my brain always works. So if I'm not working in front of my computer, I'll draw or I will just write down all the ideas I have. So yeah, this machine doesn't stop. it's easier because I don't have kids. I only have a dog that I'll have to like, will walk miles, but I can still just talk to myself and be a weird lady in the forest that talks to myself. Like, oh my God, I've got this idea. So I have to like record
it. A weird lady in the forest. That's hilarious.
It's Wales. We have a lot of forests.
All right. Number three is, what is a photography product that you highly recommend?
Oh, my latest one is the light brush.
Light brush?
Mm-hmm. It's it's like a little brush that you put on your lighter. You know,
it's the brush that you put on your light.
Light flash. Yeah. Light brush. Sorry.
No, you're like, I just want to make sure I know what it is. Yeah. So it's a physical brush. Like
it's basically a fiber optic brush that goes on top of your flashlight. There you go. Oh, that's okay. The word I was missing.
Is it your constant light or on a
So basically you create what I've done with the movement. That's what you create.
Yeah, that purple one. Okay. Yeah. Yes, got it.
And they do come in different colors, but you can also like kind of hack it and just put a little bit of a gel on the top of the flashlight and you'll have the color.
Okay.
So that's one. And the second one is the huge Octabox that I've bought from Amazon that I have no idea what's the brand, but it's awesome. Doing its work. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Number four is, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
Just don't give up. Be confident. Work on your craft, whatever you're doing. If you're doing photography, then learn how to do it. And I guess if you feel ready, just seek a mentor as well, because they do help.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you. And I know you did your Instagram handle earlier, and I know, you know, obviously your website's coming soon, but is there anywhere else people could, like, what's your TikTok handle?
TikTok is at Karola Skorek. And I think if you just search on YouTube for my name and last name, I will come up. There are two accounts. Both are mine, but one is in Polish.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again. This has been really great. Are you going to enter this round?
I am going to enter this round. I'm still waiting to think if the things that I've already have shot are the things that I've done, or I'm still editing. So I'm the last momenter when it comes to like entering. But this round was a little bit more difficult because I've decided to do my laser correction, the eyes laser collection. How do you call it?
Say it one more time.
Laser eye correction, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, LASIK.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so I've done that 4 weeks ago. I'm getting there. But if I look at the computer for too long, it's still getting like blurry and stuff. So I might just submit whatever I've got and not strain it too much.
Got it.
And left the new ones for January.
Yep, there you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again. I'll see you online soon, and hopefully we'll meet in person one day. And yeah.
Yes, definitely. Now that you know, like the whole world is up and running again, I can travel. I can travel to your beautiful land of US.
That would be amazing. You let me know if you do.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com, where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.